Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 46, Fall of America, Rise of the Saints.
And Jesus had to come as a man to partake of that authority and pass it on to His spiritual children. He had to do that. Hebrews 2, 5 through 8. For not unto angels did He subject the world to come. Literally, that is the inhabited earth. Some of your Bibles probably have a footnote there. The Greek there says, the inhabited earth. For not unto angels did He subject the inhabited earth whereof we speak. And then He quotes Psalm 8 in Hebrews 2. What is man that Thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that Thou visitest him? See, we are the son of man. That's why we have dominion over this earth. We are man and the son of man. Jesus Christ was man and the son of man. And inside the man and the son of man dwelt the son of God. Well, He had to be made in all points like unto His brethren. We also are son of man inhabiting, son of God inhabiting son of man. We also have the same dominion, you see. And He passed it on to us. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He passed it on to us. Because He didn't sin and lose it and hand it to the devil. Thou madest Him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest Him with glory and honor. Thou didst set Him over the works of Thy hands. Thou didst put all things in subjection under His feet. Now notice, for in that He subjected all things unto Him, He left nothing that is not subject unto Him. But now we see not yet all things subject unto Him. Why? Because He put it under His feet. It is the end time body of Christ that's going to take this authority and do something with it and destroy the kingdom of the devil and destroy the kingdom of the beast. The end time body of Christ is going to take this. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul said, he said, talking about just before the coming of the Lord, it says, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and marveled at in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Paul was saying in the end of time, God's people were going to receive grace to believe everything this Bible says about them. It is under His feet that all things will be in subjection. He said, notice He says, that we don't yet see all things under subjection, but it's been given, you see. But the feet will possess this authority and this power and exercise it. The feet will. That's our day, the saints in our day. What things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's awesome, isn't it? What things soever. What does that not cover? I mean, it just said all things under His feet. And now Jesus is passing on to His spiritual children this same authority. What things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Binding and loosing means permitting or forbidding. You know? When Jesus and his disciples, listen to this. When they were walking on the Mount of Olives, which represents what? The United Nations and the apostate religions. See, that's what the Mount of Olives represented. Okay. When Jesus and his disciples walked on the Mount of Olives with it under their feet, he said to them, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, they were between Bethany and Jerusalem, and that's where the Mount of Olives is. And he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Wow! You know what? One day that is actually going to be fulfilled, because the people of God are going to destroy the United Beast Kingdom with its harlot religions. You see, the people of God. The spoken word of the body of Christ will destroy the beast kingdom and religion represented by the Mount of Corruption. Every other beast kingdom in the Bible fell this way, by the people of God, not Jesus showing up. The feet destroyed these beast kingdoms. Okay? The feet. Every other beast kingdom fell in this way, like Moses and Pharaoh. God didn't show up. He sent Moses to do that. You know, we pray and we ask God to heal the sick. We ask God. There's nothing in the Bible about that. He told us, you go do that. You take my authority. You go do that. You notice the disciples never prayed to God to heal anybody and never prayed to God to cast out any demons? They just did it because they knew they had been given authority to go and do it in His name. We act in His name. It's His power. We go in His authority, you see. So God's people are going to come into this authority and shake the world in the days to come. Daniel 2 and 44. And in the days of those kings, that's the 10 kings who come into authority in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left unto another people. Now in America, God's people here, the sovereignty has been given to the pagans. Why? Because He always does that when He wants to crucify the people, when they still need crucifixion, okay? And He sets up over it, Daniel said, the basest of men. Interesting. So, God's, in the days of those kings, in the last 3.5 years, He's going to set up a kingdom which will not be given the sovereignty over to anybody else. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. That's all the kingdoms of the world in the last days. And it shall stand forever. Notice, God's people are going to destroy this kingdom during that time. Everybody thinks, well, that's waiting for the coming of the Lord. When the Lord comes, He'll take care of that. No, His people are going to do that. Did you see that? His people are going to do that. He is here. He is here in His people. And He will be in the latter days. He will come to be glorified in His saints and marveled at in all them that believe. What does 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. The real gospel, seeing Jesus in the mirror, that we don't live anymore, but He lives in us, right? That brings this power of being transformed into His glory. And that glory is going to destroy the kingdoms of the world. But the judgment shall be set, and they, that is the saints, shall take away His dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. Unto the end. The saints are doing it all the way up to the end. And see, you know how the two witnesses are making war on the beast or vice versa? You see? They don't lose that war. Everybody thinks they lose that war because they die. It says when they finish their testimony is when their flesh is permitted to be sacrificed. You see? But they don't lose that war. They are winning that war the whole time. They shall take away His dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Remember the book of Esther? How the bride was chosen from among all the fair virgins, and it was the bride that saved the people of God? Haman represented the beast who got authority from the king to destroy the people of God. Who raised up the beast? The king has been given authority to the beast to destroy the people of God. But Esther got the same authority from the same king to save the people of God. And she went out and she gave this authority to the people of God. She gave to them authority to stand for their lives. And they did. And guess what? The beast kingdom was destroyed. Read the book of Esther. Everybody thinks it's all a losing proposition in the end time. No, it's a winning proposition in the end time. Esther destroyed Haman and Haman's 10 sons, the 10 kings. The saints are hidden and the ain'ts fall away. Sean helped me out with this. He thought I misspelled saints up there and he put an S in there. But actually, you're either a saint or you ain't. Right? The saints are going to be hidden and the ain'ts are going to fall away. Zechariah 14 and 4. The Mount of Olives shall be cleft in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed towards the north and towards the south. And ye, he's talking about a remnant of the Jewish saints that's not cut off from the city, like it was in 70 AD. Remember what happened in 70 AD? In 70 AD, the saints fled to the mountains while the harlot was destroyed right there in the city. Okay? So here, watch this. And ye, a remnant of the Jewish saints, shall flee by the valley of my mountains. There's the cleft of the rock. See, God, in dividing the Mount of Olives representing the kingdom of the beast, He saves the saints. They actually, because of this cleft, they are saved. They go into this cleft of the rock and they are saved. That's a symbol. It's a symbol. It's a sign. Right? It's the same sign as the ark, same sign as the cleft of the rock. This is a type of the saints entering the ark. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. These things happen unto them by way of example, which is the Greek word for figure or type, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So that's a type and a shadow for the saints worldwide. Because when the beast kingdom is divided, it's divided in order to save them. And they're in the cleft of the rock. The cleft meaning the cleft in the beast kingdom. They're saved because of it. A. Allen saw the saints in the United States. Now we just saw the saints in Jerusalem. Look at the parallel here. It's Jerusalem, USA, in the middle. Watch. He saw the same thing in the United States. Allen saw the saints in the United States flee to the cleft mountain. The sounds of music and rejoicing were coming from a cleft high up in the side of a rock mountain. It was God's own people who were safe from all the harm, for they were hidden away in the cleft of the rock, protected by a great giant hand that reached out of heavens, shutting them in, like Noah was shut in by the hand of God, right? Until the storm be overpassed, like Jehoshaphat's army, they praised the Lord, and the kingdom of the beast was divided. These people are all up here in the cleft of the rock, praising God, and the kingdom's divided, and they're saved because of it, you see? In Luke 21 and 20, and when you see Jerusalem, with capital USA in the middle of it. When you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, then know that her desolation is at hand. Actually, when you see Jerusalem encompassed with the UN armies, get ready in America, because America's going to be hit next. Right there, you see. That's where the division starts. It starts with all the rest of the world destroying the harlot. Right there. So you know Jerusalem does also represent the United States. Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains. What mountains is he talking about? The two mountains that are made by the cleft of the rock because the nations are destroyed, you see. And in 70 AD, our type is very plain. The disciples escaped to the mountains while the harlot was destroyed. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things may be written, that are written may be fulfilled. Notice that. This is the end. This is when it's all going to be fulfilled, right? And wrath unto this people. Now, who's he talking about there? He's talking about the apostate Jews and the apostate Christians, because they will go through the wrath. You know, they claim that they're not appointed under wrath, but the truth is, all through the Bible, the wicked people of God were appointed unto wrath. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. So in other words, after this division, the Lord's coming. He's going to take His people. And there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. Notice, when the sun and the moon are darkened, that's when America is destroyed, and that's when the people get in the ark, and they're taken up. And now He's telling you, at that same time, the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. This is the apostates being rejected, being reprobated, being as the stars of heaven falling to the earth. You know, Abraham's seed are as the stars of heaven, the Bible says, you see. So as the stars of heaven, they're falling to the earth, like the fig tree, which again represents God's people, not the angels. God's people cast their unripe figs. In other words, they didn't mature. They didn't bring forth fruit. And at that time, it's too late to bring forth fruit because they will be rejected, reprobated, spewed out of the body of Christ at that time, right there. And they will fall into the great wrath of God. Okay? And Revelation 12 talks about the tail of the dragon will cast a third of the stars of heaven to the earth. And that's not the angels, folks. That's talking about a third of the stars of the people of God. The people of God are going to manifest three glories. Remember He said, we behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. We're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. 1 Corinthians 15 says that the people of God are going to manifest three glories. Star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. And that's the kind of body that they're going to receive. What kind of the percentage of the glory of Jesus Christ that they've manifested on earth, that's the kind of body that they're going to receive in the hereafter. Go back and read it. You'll see it plainly in 1 Corinthians 15. It's hidden there, but it's there. And the Lord showed me years ago that this star glory is the first glory that you enter into when you get saved. The stars have their own glory. The stars are separated from each other. They have their own glory. And just as we're self-righteous when we come into the kingdom, very self-righteous, we need to give that up. People have to outgrow star glory to go to moon glory. The Bible says if we become united with Him in the likeness of His death, the moon is one. The stars are many. They're separated because of their self-righteousness, you see. But the moon is one, and it doesn't have its own glory. The moon only reflects the glory of the sun. That's death. When you die, you enter into this death, you become one with the brethren, and you only reflect the light of the sun. Then the next stage is sun glory. And sun glory is when you once again have your own glory, but it's the glory of Jesus Christ. See, and God's people grow through these three stages. But the only one that falls from heaven is a third of the stars of heaven is going to fall from heaven. No moon glory, no sun glory will fall. Only a portion of the star glory saints will fall. Wrath unto this people. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. And there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the whole moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. The saints leave and return for the last battle. Remember, at the end of 40 days, they go up. The saints enter the ark when the sun and the moon are darkened in the beginning of the year-long day of the Lord. At the end of 40 days, they have their Psalm 91 Passover, and they're translated as the spiritual ark lifts off, and the wicked and the apostates are under their feet in judgment. All right? At the end of that year, the saints return with the Lord for the last battle. We call it the Battle of Armageddon. Well, it starts at Armageddon, and it ends at Armageddon. But the war is the war of the great day of God, which is the whole year. Okay? So they return with the Lord for this last battle, Zechariah 14 and 5. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the holy ones, which is the born-again Jews and Gentiles, with thee. And the next verses show us this scenario. And it shall come to pass in that day, which is the day of the Lord, there shall not be light, for the bright ones shall withdraw themselves. the bright ones. Now people think, well, maybe that's the sun, the moon, and the stars. Actually, it is, but it's talking about the saints. The saints hidden in the ark. The sun, moon, and star glory saints. They're not going to be seen because they're going to be hidden in the ark. They will be withdrawn. They will be taken to heaven, right? But it shall be one day, that's the day of the Lord, which is known unto the Lord, not day and not night. Why is it not day and not night? Because the sun and the moon are darkened. So it's not day and not night. But it shall come to pass that at end, evening, of course, is the end of one day and the beginning of another day to the Jews, right? We're talking about the end of the day of the Lord. But at evening, there shall be light. Why is that? Because the sun, the moon, and the stars are returning with Jesus Christ. Jesus and His saints return. Okay? And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And Isaiah 60 said, "Arise and shine, for thy light is come. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." That's that day. The Lord and His saints will smite the kings of the north and the kings of the east in the last battle. Remember, they've already whipped America, and now they're all joining back together as a one world order once again, the remnants of them, to fight against Israel. As Dimitri said, all the nations with the Russians as their leader will go against Israel. That's the last battle, and also at Armageddon. Zechariah 14 and 12. "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the peoples that have warred against..." Notice, they've been warring for a solid year against Jerusalem. And at the end, God's going to come and destroy them to save what? A remnant of natural Jerusalem, a remnant of natural Israelites. God's going to save a remnant of natural Israelites. Okay? "And smite all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet." Notice that in this last battle, flesh will be consumed. When Noah returned to earth in the ark, the first order of business was a sacrifice of beastly flesh, wasn't it? To consume the flesh of beasts. He made an altar and he burnt the flesh of the beasts. Well, guess what? The people that come back in the ark, meaning the Lord and His saints, they are going to do the same thing. In Genesis 8 and 20, "And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took up every clean beast and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And so it will be with the end time saints." Ezekiel 39. A lot of people think that this happens at the pre-trib. It doesn't. Here's the sacrifice right here. "Speak unto the birds of every sort and every beast of the field, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel." That, remember when Noah returned, it was on the mountains of Ararat that he did his sacrifices, on the mountains, right? Now it's on the mountains of Israel, "that you may eat flesh and drink blood of the princes of the earth, and you shall be filled at my table with all men of war." Notice, he's going after the beast armies. "And all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed and that I have laid upon them." All nations are being destroyed in this battle. Jude and Revelation address the Lord and His saints returning to finish off the nations in one last sacrifice of flesh. Jude 1, 14 and 15. "Behold, the Lord came with 10,000s of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all." Revelation 19, 11 through 18. "And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon called Faithful and True. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and pure. And out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp sword," which is a spoken word, you know, "that with it he should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God. And I saw an angel saying to all the birds that fly in the mid of heaven," here's the birds again from Ezekiel, right? "Come and be gathered together unto the great supper of God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of all men." There's your sacrifice that Noah comes to sacrifice. Zechariah 12 and 8. "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Notice, he's going to defend. The saints have already been made. The resurrection and the rapture have already happened. But now he's defending natural inhabitants of Jerusalem, people that are not born again, but a remnant. He's saving a remnant for the millennium, if nothing else, right? And it also applies to the people in America. He's going to save a remnant of the people of America that the beast has been making war on for a solid year. The beast armies are in America. They're almost destroying America right down to the base, okay? And the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David. Imagine that God can give this gift to natural men to be such great warriors, but that's what he's going to do. And the angel of the Lord will be before them. So, the Lord and his saints are going to join with the natural inhabitants of Israel and fight against the beast armies that are left. Watch. And I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem with USA in the middle. Okay? This is a prophecy. It's happening both in Israel and in America. Okay? The Lord and his saints join a remnant of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the USA, to defeat the beast armies fighting on their soil. George Washington's vision. Here's another half of it. This is America's half of this same vision that people thought was only for Jerusalem. George Washington's vision. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the swords, and the shouts of cries of millions in mortal combat, instantly a light as the... Here's the light returning. A light as a thousand suns shone down from above me and pierced in broken fragments the dark cloud, there's the darkness, which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union and who bore our national flag in one hand and the sword in the other descended from heaven, attended by legions of white spirits. Now, these aren't angels because he just said what an angel was at the beginning of this, right? At the same moment, the angel, now he's calling them legions of, these are the saints returning, legions of white spirits. These, notice, immediately joined the inhabitants of America, the natural people in America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. The saints have had a hand in dividing the nations at the beginning of the year of wrath, and now they return at the end of the year to finish the invading beast armies in Jerusalem and in America, and spiritual Babylon in America is destroyed forever. Spiritual Babylon is destroyed forever. So, there are some awesome prophecies in there that are really well hidden, aren't they? But God, in His grace, can show them to us. And God's got an awesome plan. He's gonna save a remnant of America after they've gone through a year of battle with the beast, and Jerusalem the same way. He's going to save them. But praise be to God, in these coming days, God's people are going to rise up and take their place as the body of Christ. That's not the body of the weak and worthless Christ that we see in the churches today. This is the body of Christ that we read about in the book of Acts. We're about to have our own book of Acts. And it's going to be something awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Praise be to God.
This concludes the Hidden Manna for the End Times series by David Eales. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.